When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, okay, Mary Ellen, we will depend it. And we will depend
on it.
And we'll depend on it.
She's laughing.
Welcome back. Live from Sherwood Forest. Hour two begins now with the Von Hessler Doctrine. I'm Eric Von Hessler. That's Autumn Fisher. That's Jared Yamamoto. That's English Nick right there. And it is time. Oh, no, I'm not. I know. It sounded like I was just. Boy,
and,
1 hour.
Oh,
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted.
Let's break for lunch.
1 whole hour I've been doing radio. But hey, you know what? I'm contracted to do another hour, and I'm persistent. I'm going to stick to it. So it's now time for... it is now time for...
Outrage Corner.
That's outrageous.
With English Nick.
There he is. English Nick. What is outraging the globe?
Outrage number one. The DeKalb County School District is outraged over this teacher, Quentin Wright, who allowed pupils to have sex in a storage closet.
Yeah, I can't understand the outrage here.
He's 25. He's practically a kid himself.
So he's a teacher. Was he a gym teacher?
He's
or
a basketball coach and math and science teacher.
And what was Denny Hastert? Wrestling coach. I'm not putting things. No, this is totally different.
Take PE out of schools.
Yeah, because kids are too healthy.
Yeah. Ugh.
And this gets even deeper. He admitted to it, and he said that he gave a condom or a condom.
Condom.
Yeah. Condom.
Condom, the way you guys say it, to one student.
Banana.
Ahead of a sexual encounter.
So he would set things up as like a storage closet, and like kids, like he was like the hotel guy. Like they would book the room. I want the room from 1 to... It's a kid. What's he need? 1 to 105? I don't even... I need the room from 1 to 130 or whatever.
In one instance, two students were holed up in the storage closet for more than 90 minutes while Wright was in the classroom.
So he knew all this was going on,
yeah.
And he allows it to go on. And yeah, I think that you hit on something that's very important, because we hear these stories an awful lot.
Yeah.
And... teachers should be ancient. You know, these stories all the time. It's usually like the female teacher who's hooking up with some high school students, and you look at them and they're like 28 and they're hot or whatever. This guy's 25. He's barely out of being a kid himself, apparently. When I was growing up, when I was a young man in America, our teachers were ancient. I mean, you never even had any kind of thought that you could either be with that person or arrange some sort of sexual tryst with their help. It never occurred to you at all. And I really think, I mean, obviously, most teachers don't do this, and a lot of teachers are young. But I don't know that I trust the 24-year-old teacher teaching high school anything.
The young, good-looking ones should all be pushed back to, like, elementary school before kids are going through puberty.
Right.
So it's just like, my jerk teacher doesn't like me.
Yeah. So then by the time, like, if you're a really hot 24-year-old, you should be
kindergarten.
Kindergartners, right.
Yeah.
And then
once you get
the first wart on your face, then you're allowed to go and be the teacher at the high school level, I think. Wait. Although, this is also interesting to me, is they call it the tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
A DeKalb County Schools tribunal?
Come before the tribunal.
The tribunal. I think of like, ooh, yay. Oh. Like that Bee Gees song. DeMarco, can you look in the system and see if there's a song called Every Christian Hearted Lion... Every...
that's not going to be in there.
No, it was a hit. It has a stupid name. That was it. Every Christian lion-hearted man will tell you. Every Christian lion-hearted man. See if it's in it.
But anyways, from the Bee Gees?
From the Bee Gees.
Ooh,
back when the Bee Gees were good. People don't know there was a period of time in the 60s, before like 1972 or 73, from the time they started, they had just awesome Beatlesque, you know, kind of songs. They were a little schmaltzy. It was still Barry Gibb, you know, after all. But I mean, they were cool sounding. So it's probably not in there, but it has this sort of like, ooh, yay, ooh. It sounds...
Oh, he's found it.
Yeah.
Come before the DeKalb County Schools Tribunal.
You will be stripped of your job as a teacher.
I think that's... Turn it up.
Those are like throat singers, right?
Yeah, they're chanting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mr. Quentin Wright, present yourself.
Are you sure this isn't from Spinal Tap?
I think it may have been taken.
Stonehenge is going
to
float down.
To a pop song right here. You
heard this song?
No, no.
Never.
Turn it up, DeMarco.
Oh, I love it.
It's like Beatles song.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now I gotta go through the chorus. There you go. Every Christian.
I love how we go from students having sex to this.
So you've learned something. Okay, pull it down. Great music for tribunals.
Yeah.
Your next tribunal, you should have this.
Just at the beginning.
What the guy was doing is disgusting. I mean, you know, but, you know, don't let 25-year-olds teach your children anything. Do you remember when you were 25 years old? Would you have taught any? Look at Jared Yamamoto. He's 26. He doesn't even know how to shake a girl's hand.
Yeah.
Give me the
gross.
Next outrage, please.
Well, Kylie Jenner is outraged.
Who's
over,
that?
She's
is she
one
a
of them.
Man or a woman?
Well, from this picture, I'm not really sure because she's wearing sunglasses that are so huge you can't see her face.
No, they're all hot, right? This is part of the Kardashian clan.
She's the one who had that thing where she was making people plump up their lips.
Yes.
A few weeks.
So this is Bruce Jenner. She's the product of Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner,
right.
Not
mm-hmm.
from the Kardashians before.
Right.
And just like all of them, she's really super hot.
And she's outraged over chemtrails.
Really?
Remember those things?
Chemtrails.
Oh my gosh.
You mean like the Art Bell chemtrails?
No,
like the chemtrails that are supposedly for mind control?
No, the ones that the planes leave in the sky.
No, they believe that's for mind control.
Really?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they believe so. The
keeping humans docile.
Yeah, you see a plane, and then you see that the chemtrail behind it. I think a contrail would be the actual name for
right.
it,
mm-hmm.
which is condensation trail, I believe. So then that got changed to chemtrail because some conspiracy theorist, you know how I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Have I ever told you that there's not one single conspiracy theory I've ever heard that I've ever believed ever about anything?
You've told me that, yeah.
One guy killed John F. Kennedy. I never believed one conspiracy theory I ever heard. So this is the weirdest, one of the strangest. So some conspiracy theory started, and this is like so 1998, I feel
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even about today so much. But the idea is that they believe that if it was truly just water vapor, it would evaporate much quicker and not hang there in the air like you see those. And so they believe that chemicals are put in there for a lot of different ideas they have: solar radiation management, psychological manipulation, human population control, weather modification. So, is it Kylie Jenner? I get these.
Kylie.
So you.
The smart one.
The one who's into political causes. Chemtrails. She's outraged. So what is it that bothers you about these chemtrails? So like the.
It's just like weird. Like I saw 75 in the sky today in like 15 minutes.
Yeah. I saw that you thought maybe it's connected to the loss of honeybees.
Yeah, it's like, why are all the honeybees dying? And the other day, I was trying to open my soda, and it like exploded everywhere. And I was like, why are these chemtrails doing
this? Did you shake your soda before you
opened it? Well, I mean, I dropped it first, but whatever. I'm talking about the chemtrail. I don't know why you're focused on that.
It reminds me, you know, she's in the spotlight, and this is more ridiculous than usual. But when I was 17, like, the first time you decide to get political, like she's probably thinking, you know, people just know me as this, you know, ditzy, you know, whatever.
I'm a writer. I wrote a science fiction book with my sister.
You know this is true?
It is true.
No. Those two wrote a science fiction book. What was it about? Science fiction-y thing?
Hold on. Let me text my ghostwriter. Hold on.
Don't send in a text with empowerment in it or whatever it is.
So when you're 17, you sort of get this idea that I need to be political. Like, I got to be about something. And you just pick the first thing that goes by. And you're not smart enough yet to understand that you have to be able to back up your argument.
She wrote at the end of this, am I the only one who sees this?
And she puts a connection, she does, to the honeybees.
Yeah.
So, like, there's another story going on. And when you're 17, you really believe that you're getting ideas that no one's ever thought of before. So she's heard the thing about chemtrails, and she heard the thing about honeybees, and she doesn't understand how scientific, you know, things work, like, you know, actually having to back up your theories. Oh, there's one and there's one. They got to be connected.
Join the dots there, mm-hmm. Kylie.
Does this have anything to do with why the honeybees are dying off really fast? Why are some days normal with no planes spraying and others look like
spraying.
This? Who's responsible?
Well,
who thought this was a good idea?
And why is it a bad idea?
Because it's like it's got chemicals,
yeah.
No GMOs.
Which chemicals?
Like all those bad ones.
Uh-huh. Like,
yeah.
Like, could you just name one?
Well, you know when they put fluoride in the water?
Yeah.
That's like the same thing that they're like doing.
So we'd all be dead now because fluoride's been in the water for quite some time.
Or it's like they're trying to make us like not question stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the government.
Like what? What about the government would you like to question?
Like why Barack Obama is interested in my texting. It's like not cool.
I think I know why that is. But by the way, that was just a little preview of a new show. Eric debates the Kardashians. This is going to be something that I do once a week. And I'll just be debating Kardashian points of view.
I'm not available.
A whole portion of the podcast should be that.
I'm not available Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays
why?
For my cosmetic enhancements on my face.
You're 17.
Right, but my lips like get really deflated now because I plump them.
But you're 17 and you should be fine with yourself.
Listen,
at 17.
I wish that you would stop lip shaming me right now because this is my choice and it makes me have a higher opinion of
Don't
myself
act
and
like
my body.
That's the first time you've ever been lip shamed. Do not turn this into a house of lies, Miss Jenner. So it's interesting that chemtrails are the thing that you jumped on because you're not afraid of putting chemicals in your lips.
Oh, yeah, those are like natural.
You don't want them in the sky.
My doctor said that they are natural chemicals.
Okay, so
that like exist.
They come from cows, don't they?
They come from like a doctor. So wherever the doctor gets them is probably cool.
The doctor's natural.
Yeah, he's a natural doctor.
Planes aren't natural.
No, we're not so, like, supposed to be up there. It's stupid.
Also, people don't think about the chemtrail thing. It wouldn't fall on top of where it is. They'd have to work it out to where like it would fall 1,000 miles away. Well, whatever. It makes no sense.
My driver's here, so I have to go.
Okay, thank you for your input.
Bye. Ooh, bye, guys. Love you.
I think we have one or two more outrages when we return.
The Von Hessler Doctrine on News 95.5 and AM 750. WSB.
Oh, welcome back. Channel 2's Brad Nitz saying high of 84 degrees today, a 7 on the Mellish meter. That weather is brought to you by Shoemate, the official air conditioning of summer. English Nick is here, also Autumn Fisher, Jared Yamamoto. Welcome to everybody. English Nick has one or two more outrages for me.
Here we go to Holland, a Danish radio station.
I'm outraged. Holland. There's something about Holland that outrages me.
Outrage in Holland. Actually, worldwide, this Danish radio station clubbed a rabbit to death live on the air to stimulate a debate.
Well, first of all, was the debate stimulated?
I believe the rabbit wasn't.
No. How did they kill this? First of all, what debate did they want to stimulate?
I think basically, look, you eat meat, but you're not willing to kill.
Right.
You know,
and then maybe you judge people who do kill, but you do... All right, I sort of get that, and I'm like that. I've told you, I'm guilty of that. I want my steak. I can't stand walking into like a butcher shop. I haven't done it in years, but there's like a dead pig hanging from the ceiling. I don't want to see that kind of stuff. I know what happens, but I want it to be clean, some nice fluorescent lighting, plastic wrappers, and I take my steak home, and I don't even think about it ever walking around.
They used a bicycle pump. To kill this
what?
Rabbit. A bicycle pump.
They basically bashed a 9-week-old rabbit over the head.
His name was Alan. They named it before they did it.
Well, because that's to further debate, give it some sort of personality. You told me off air there was an animal rights person there.
They invited her in to join in the debate, and then when she realized what they were going to do, she chased... This DJ was called Asker Jewel. He's called Asker Jewel.
Oh, he's good.
She chased... the lady chased him around the studio trying to save the rabbit.
And then they just said no, and then they beat the rabbit over the head with a bicycle pump.
And then he took it home and skinned it and fed his family with it.
Now, to stimulate a debate about that, okay, I kind of get that, right?
Right.
To say you are killing an actual living being.
Every time you eat.
But to smash it, like bludgeon it to death with a bicycle pump,
and
in the shop or wherever they're being killed in real life, they're being like humanely killed, probably.
It may be that there's something in the culture that we don't understand, but here's something that we can understand and we know from our own personal experience, and all this tells us is that radio stunts are stupid all over the world. That's a universal thing, that morning show shock jock radio stunts are stupid all over the world. As a matter of fact, some of my best friends are radio people, but all radio people are stupid. We know this. A long time ago, when the first show was on a little show, I was on a little show before this, beforehand, for a number of years.
I don't remember what it was
called. Mm-hmm. Neither do I, but I was on it, and we were at some radio awards ceremony. A long time ago. First of all, that's got to make you laugh right there. Awards are going to be given to radio people. So this is the award you get for not being good enough for TV or not being the rock star you always wanted to be. Well, you kind of landed in radio, and we'll judge you against your peers and give awards. So I went up there, and before we gave an award away, I basically said something to the effect of, because the place was just full of every radio personality in Atlanta. Everybody, yeah. Yeah, it was every conversation.
Yeah, news.
Every person in radio that was in the Atlanta Metro was in this room. And I said, if you dropped a bomb in here right now, humanity would have a second chance. And it didn't go over very well, and I've never quite understood that. But I think that this rabbit story kind of it shows that you want to stimulate a debate. Hey, I got an idea. It's radio. You could say you killed it.
When you really didn't.
When you really didn't. So whoever
someone could make a shrieking noise and pretend it's a rabbit. Yeah.
They have dead rabbits on tape you can put out there.
Sure.
But whoever was bashing this poor thing with a bicycle pump was enjoying it.
Some intern.
Right. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
No, it was.
Hey, let's get fat nasty Oscar in
Jewel.
Here.
It was Oscar Jewel.
Fat nasty will do it. When a lot of stuff's been going on in sports that I want to speak about. My friend Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports is going to come up next, and we'll bat some things about maybe the Hawks and whatnot when we return.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Von Hessler. That's Autumn Fisher. That's Jared Yamamoto. That's English Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Left to right on your radio dial. It is Sunday, which means the Von Hessler Doctrine, but it also means it's time to go out and get your Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution. This week we'll get a look at why it is so hard for local governments to solve problems like traffic and other big issues. I have my ideas, but, you know. I'm doing that here. For more ideas, you have to get to Sunday AJC. Plus, you'll be able to clip and save up to $360 in coupons. Another reason, as if you need any more, to run out and get your Sunday AJC. Well, you know, usually at this time, we get stories from Studio B1 with misanthrope friend Greg Russ, but I fired him because he was annoyed. No, he's busy this week and is not able to do it. So, we haven't talked sports in quite some time. A lot's going on. My buddy Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports is with us. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing well. Should I be angry at everyone and everything in order to keep the Greg vibe going?
Now, we don't need misanthrope sports people as well. I think one misanthrope per show is good enough. I like Jay Busby and his sunny disposition. I enjoy it very much. So, before we get on to a few other stories, wrap up the Hawks season, where you think they are right now after being swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I would imagine that right now they're probably at a golf course relaxing and enjoying a hard-earned season. But in terms of where they are as a franchise, they're in great shape. I mean, they've got some concern about contracts with Paul Millsap and Damari Carroll. They've got to worry about Al Horford down the line, not immediately but with a contract. But I think what they proved is that their system can work. You know, they're no superstar. Mm-hmm. Pass the ball to everyone system can work. And what they can do now is figure out whether they can get that one more piece, that one more go-to guy that will take them to the next level. But I don't think you can call this season a failure by any stretch.
No, I tell people, I think people who are upset about the season are just very silly. Nobody expected anything. They got further along than they ever have before. It's a great team. But they do need a superstar. I believe they do. Are there any on the horizon? Is there any free agency out there that's of interest? Or is this kind of a bad year we're going into next year?
It's not only a bad year, it's a question of how much money they would have. It's going to be a couple of years before they have a whole lot of money available to offer one of these max contracts.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the issue for them. And obviously to do that, you've got to either pay your existing guys less or you've got to cut loose some of the talent that you have right now. So, you know, it's the basketball has set it up so that it is kind of like a finely tuned puzzle. You can't necessarily make one move, one big move, without it having affect others down the line. And so that's what the Hawks are going to be dealing with now. It's a nice problem to have rather than playing from behind as they have for the last, 50 years or so.
Yeah, and will Danny Ferry be allowed back in the building anytime? Like next year, is this over, or does this carry on into next year?
I don't know. I don't know what the story is on that, but, everything, the best possible thing for his chances of reinstatement happened, and that all of the moves that he made to get them to this point, regardless of what he may have said about players along the way, seemed to work out well. And so
the players seemed to like him.
That helped.
The players seem to like him of all races. So, well, okay. So, you know what? I tend to think now I love the Atlanta Hawks. I love this team. I believe while you were here, I said my fear was going to be in the third round. I was proven correct. I don't like to, you know, pat myself on the back too much, but
sure.
You know, I used to be on 5 days a week. I pat myself on the back a little bit, you know? With that, my love for the Hawks being stated, I believe the two best teams have made it through. I think it's going to be a good finals. What do you feel about Steph Curry's daughter? This is now, I mean, Golden State, they haven't even started yet. This is another thing about the NBA. The season goes on forever. They don't even start these games until Thursday. And both teams, I mean, when did we lose? I mean, it's been over for 3 or 4 days now. So
I'm fairly certain that the next season will be starting before this one is actually over. So we've got that to look forward to.
They overlap, which maybe is a good way to sell tickets. I don't know. So I think it's going to be a pretty excellent series. I don't know who to call as to win. If you put a gun to my head, I'd say Golden State, but you never know with someone like LeBron. So Steph Curry has been bringing his – how old is his daughter? What is she, 2 years old, 3 years old?
She's 2 years old, right.
And Steph, it's very nice. She's a lovely, lovely daughter. And he's been bringing her to the post-game press conferences, and she's just been stealing the show. I want to be a little bit unprofessional here because I didn't – see if you can hear this. I have a little bit of sound.
We're both supposed to –
get to work, Daddy.
I know. Hold on. Aww.
So she's been making people laugh, and it's even, and then it's gone even further than that. Like in other press conferences, she gets up, she walks around, she gets caught up inside of the curtains, and so there's a debate now as to, obviously she's cute and she's wonderful, but is it appropriate for him to keep bringing this young girl, 2 years old, to every press conference?
Yeah, my initial reaction was stop being such a clown about having this baby there. Just enjoy the baby, because there were a few reporters who were like, "Hey, it's we're on deadline. We've got to get our work done. We've got to get our quote." Blah blah blah. And you know, it's ridiculous when they make that kind of assertion, because press conferences historically have zero of value. I mean, it's very very rare that you can get anything good out of a press conference that's in front of a couple dozen reporters. You know, he might be pushing it a little bit, continuing to bring her to every single one, especially if she's running around. You know, we all have been at the restaurant where there's been that one kid that, oh my gosh, that kid's precious, but, you know, hey, they're climbing under my table now. So I can understand there might be a point, but honestly, I fail to see the huge issue of this, at least early on.
Well, he can't stop now. Because it would be like he's got to do it now. Mm-hmm. I think so. It's another thing is, isn't it like midnight West Coast time that this is happening? So, I mean, the kid is going to be, you know, somewhat punch drunk if they're going to be around. The honest truth, I have to be honest here. You're never supposed to take the middle. This is what I learned a long time ago on radio. Never take the middle. But I find him bringing his daughter both annoying and adorable at the same time. And I think the fear is that now everyone will start doing it. And it will become this thing where it's a wild distraction, and then the NBA will have to lay down some kind of law about it. But I do think, and I don't know, I've had this thought, and then I've wondered myself, is that condescending? I don't know. But I think that the kind of reputation that athletes have, you know, and Adrian Peterson beating up his son and all that stuff, Ray Rice with his wife, I think that it is good for sports in general to see a guy who's a top athlete, the top of his game, he was the MVP, being a father who is kind of ruled by his two-year-old daughter, like all fathers are, you know?
Right.
And so on one hand, I think it's good as far as just, you know, it's better than putting a poster of the Miami Heat's Birdman on your 8-year-old's wall. That's for sure. You know, I would rather my 8-year-old look up to Steph Curry, this guy who's a great athlete and obviously a great father, than, you know, most of the athletes today who just with all this tattooing look like pirates to me. But that's my editorial. The big news this week in sports was what went on in the world of soccer. So please try to explain this to us.
Yes. It turns out that FIFA, the worldwide soccer organization, is in fact corrupt, and I had no idea about this. It comes as a complete shock to both me and apparently to FIFA president Sepp Blatter, who has absolutely no idea how 14 different FIFA officials could have been accused of corruption and bribery and money laundering and racketeering and so forth.
Yeah, and what I find weird about this is they were in Switzerland, right? at a conference where they're going to re-elect this guy who apparently he's going to be president of FIFA for life. And so it's a formality. But it was the American FBI, I believe, that was the main agency behind having these people arrested, although the Swiss authorities arrested them.
There are so many different threads to this to figure out. You know, you see something, FIFA, have a step back, FIFA makes the NCAA look like a clown, a gang of bumbling clowns.
Yeah.
FIFA has corruption and has deceit and graft up to absolutely astronomical levels.
Now stop there for a moment and let's explore that for a second. In my mind, and I'm not an expert, it's much like the corruption that goes on with the Olympic Committee, because they have the power to say, yes, you will get the next World Cup. Then a lot of sort of diplomats, politicians, people who want the World Cup in their region are willing to provide everything from money to prostitutes and more.
That's exactly right. Yeah, in America, we're kind of shocked that maybe a quarterback might have deflated football. that's how you say hello in other countries. With sacks of cash and with bribes and all of that. But America is just so completely sheltered. So, but what I was going to say is, on one hand, you know, America gets upset about the increasing police power of the government and how the government is overreaching. But then it comes to this, where our police power reaches into another country to go and chase down a supervillain. And everyone's like, ah, cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's
So the 14 that were arrested, they're kind of in charge of sort of North and South America. Is that why? So the corruption that went on here, or they used our banks? There's some kind of in for the FBI.
Yeah, exactly. What it is they're able to, the U.S. government's jurisdiction extends all the way through to U.S. banks, U.S. internet systems, U.S. phone systems. So they've managed to expand their jurisdiction to that degree. And the people that were arrested, a lot of them were FIFA officials. Others were officials with broadcast entities and sponsors connected to FIFA. And it all had to do, as I mentioned, with wiretapping, with racketeering, with steering tournaments to certain locations. And the U.S. said, all right, You used our internet. You used our phone. That's good enough for us to grab you.
And then we didn't get the World Cup that we wanted. Probably if we had gotten the World Cup in, what did we want it, 2022?
That's right.
And if we had gotten that, we probably would have backed off a little bit. But I feel like maybe they got really so outrageous it couldn't be ignored anymore, because they gave that World Cup to a country, Qatar, where my understanding is now they moved the tournament. They've moved it into November or December, but if it had been, and it's still going to be really hot, but if it had been played when it's supposed to be played, I hear that it's something like 122 degrees, yes. And they still got it, which made people go, wait a minute, they didn't get this on merit.
Well, yeah, there's a couple things. First of all, if Qatar got if anyone awarded the World Cup to Qatar on merit, they would be declared clinically insane. There's no way they could have gotten this without graft. But this investigation has gone on since 1994 or so, which makes you, the 1994 right. World Cup, which makes you wonder. But the question now is, the U.S. was the favorite to get the World Cup in 2026. So pretty much either the U.S. is going to get every World Cup from now on, or none ever again. There's going to be no middle ground.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the Atlanta Falcons and their latest dog-killing player. There's another one. Oh. How does this keep happening to the Atlanta Falcons? More Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports when we return.
Von Hessler Doctrine on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Welcome back. You have very little time and a lot to do. First, let me tell you, Channel 2's Brad Nitz is calling for a high of 84 degrees, a 7 on the Mellish meter is what you look forward to today. The weather is brought to you by Shoemate, the official air conditioning of summer. Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports, are you still with us, sir?
I am, sir. I'm here.
All right, your technology is working. I want to get to the Falcons story, but first, before we leave FIFA and the world of soccer, English Nick had something he wanted to add, sir, and you wanted to say.
Americans are just jealous of the great European and British soccer players, and that's why this has happened.
There you go.
That's why the FBI got involved.
I needed to bring in the English perspective.
quick question for Nick. How did England do last year at the World Cup?
Terribly, sir. Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah.
Burn in your face.
Yeah, there's some great players, but for
great
some reason,
Scott.
England just can't pull the World Cup off anymore.
I feel like we took a soccer ball, we just threw it into English Nick's face, we went, FIFA!
Yeah.
All right, we don't have a whole lot of time. Can you please explain to me who Well, I know Prince Chembo is. I remember seeing him play for the Falcons. I believe he was drafted in the third or fourth or fifth round. I can't remember. But anyway, why are the Atlanta Falcons the only National Football League team that I know of that continually drafts players who kill dogs? Now, exactly what happened?
Yeah, that's not something you generally see in a scouting report on guys, but somehow the Falcons do it. Yeah, apparently this guy was involved in a domestic conflict with his girlfriend. She had a small dog that she loved very much.
This was a little teeny dog.
Yeah, a very small dog. And a Yorkie that he decided to allegedly kick until it was dead. So there's no way around that. It's a horrible thing if, in fact, it happened the way that it's said to have happened.
And here's the thing. He said, I have a dog. I've never heard a dog. I love dogs. The dog just kind of got on my nerves, and I thought, he kicked it away. First of all, we should mention the Falcons have released this guy immediately. Yep. They've been through the dog-killing thing before, yep. All right? The Falcons, that's the wrong team. You're not going to get a moment's help on that. So, but he says, I just kicked the dog, but it turned out the dog had a fractured rib, fractured liver, abdominal hemorrhage, thoracic hemorrhage, extensive bruising, hemorrhage of the muscles. I mean, I can go on and on and on. That's from the AJC. Well, we're running out of time. Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Read everything that he writes. Follow him on Twitter, and you will be more enlightened. Thank you for being with us, Jay. I appreciate
it. Sure thing, brother.
Thanks to DeMarco, Mary Ellen, Autumn Fisher, Jared Yamamoto, English Nick, everyone listening. I appreciate it. And that was this episode of the Von Hessler Doctrine. You can get more of me at ericvonline.com. We do podcast. We'll chat with you again on the next episode of the Von Hessler Doctrine. That's next Sunday at 1 p.m. Until then, I must insist that each and every one of you just get off my lawn!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.